Ramsey TV.
Let me ask you an important question today, ladies and gentlemen. Where does it say in Scripture that Babylon will be rebuilt? Do you see the word rebuilt associated with Babylon? I'm not saying that Babylon is not going to exist as a literal place at the end of Millennium 6. I believe it is. But my question remains, where do you see that Babylon will be rebuilt? This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. I'm looking into difficult passages of the book of Revelation. And as I've told you the last couple of days, I'm going to give you a teaching on Babylon that I don't think you've ever heard before. I've never heard it before. If you have heard it before, I'd be happy. I'd be glad. I'd be glad if somebody else has mentioned this, talked about the possibility of what I'm going to tell you today. This is going to have to, I looked at all the information I had, all the details I had on Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 18. I said, there's no way I can get this in one show. There's no way. That's why this is called Babylon Part 1. I'm hoping maybe Part 2 will be all, but I don't know. It'd be great because then I could finish it this week. Not that that's important. If I have to do a Part 3, I'll continue it on Monday. I'm going to show you a photograph of how I believe, or of what I believe, end time, quote, rebuilt Babylon is going to look like. And you're going to wonder, where are you going with this? Some of you may know, I don't know. And again, I'm not saying that what I'm telling you is actually the way it's going to be, okay? I put that before you like I have in the other shows. My word is not gospel. My interpretation is not gospel. But there have been interesting ways that scripture, that prophecy has come to pass in the past, and I'm going to get into that more tomorrow. I better write that down. Prophecy in the past. You should see the notes I have in the past. I have examples of prophecies in the past that in no way would you have interpreted it the way it came out. But with hindsight, the way it came out fits the words of prophecy. Now, I'm not agreeing with those who say that no one can know prophecy. No one can understand the future by reading prophecy. Yes, those with insight can. But God does fulfill his prophetic word in ways that are not generally seen at the time, but they are literal fulfillments. Some people think that Babylon is a whole figure of speech, that it represents confusion. That's what the word means. There was an ancient city, Babylon. And the name, again, means confusion. It is where God scattered the language. It was the Tower of Babel they started to build under Nimrod. What a Nimrod that guy was. So they start to build this tower of the heavens. Some people think they're trying to reach heaven with a tower. They're not that stupid. Dr. Bollinger said that the Masoreth, that is, the zodiac signs, were on the ceiling of the Tower of Babel, and it was more like they were reaching for knowledge of the heavens. Anyway, that's really not relevant, but Babylon, in a sense, represents all the confusion of man. It also represents the avarice, the pride of life, and the hedonism of humanity. And all the judgments of all the hedonists and the greedy of all time are going to come upon this city. That's not strange. I'm going to read a passage from Luke 11 that says the blood of all the prophets came upon Jesus' generation. That doesn't seem fair. that one generation should have to pay for the blood of all the prophets? I don't know if it's fair or not, but it's scripture. Likewise, all of the greed and the pleasure seeking, the lusts of the flesh, everything done in the name of pure pleasure without regard to God is going to come upon Babylon, including they're also going to take the blood of those slain for Jesus. So those slain from the time of Christ will come upon Babylon. Those slain before the time of Christ came upon that nation, that generation that was wiped out when Titus came and destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Well, fairness doesn't come into play. God has decided to make it the representative beast, the representative system. And it's a stronghold, Babylon. It represents so much. In fact, it was the literal capital of the world. I mean, I see the figurative uses of Babylon. I see how it represents religious confusion or religion itself. I understand that there is a figurative usage of Babylon. But when we consider the figurative usage of any part of Scripture, we can't throw away the literal. Can't throw away the literal. That's like saying Jesus holding up the bread, saying, "This is my body." He uses bread figuratively. Therefore, there's no such thing as bread. Well, that's stupid. The Jordan River is a type of death, a type of going into the grave and resurrecting, whatever. But that means there's no River Jordan. No, there is a River Jordan. So as Babylon represents so many things in a figure, and as it becomes the end repository of all things ugly, all the ugliness of humanity, all the hatred of God, all the human pride, human greed, human avarice and hedonism, Babylon's going to be, I mean, that's where God's going to concentrate it all, and it's going to be destroyed. So I see the literal. I see the figurative, but you can't deny the literal. This city was the world capital three times. Three times in world history, it was the capital of the world, the literal capital of the world, literally. Have I mentioned the word literal? Nebuchadnezzar was the first king of the world. No, it wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio at the bow of the Titanic. I'm the king of the world. No, that'd be Nebuchadnezzar. Where was his headquarters? Babylon. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. I'll get back to that, the three world kingdoms. So some people say that Babylon was completely and forever destroyed. In other words, some Christians see the fulfillment of the destruction of Babylon going back to Seleucus Nicator, who is a Roman general in 312 to 280 BC, who destroyed the city of Babylon. And not completely, though. He left some over, and he left it for Trajan, who was a Roman emperor, who really did in the city, ransacked it to the ground in 98 to 117 BC. So some Christians interpret Babylon having been destroyed and wiped out. They see that prophecy fulfilled by Seleucus, Nicator, and Trajan, these Greek and Roman leaders, respectively. Oh, yeah? Well, I got a passage of scripture I'm going to read you that says that the blood of those who slayed Jesus and the saints of Jesus will come upon Babylon. And Babylon will be destroyed for those souls who were persecuted because of Jesus, died because of Jesus. That's strange. If the destruction of Babylon prophesied by John happened in years BC, it's not very likely, is it? No. Babylon will rise again. But don't take rise literally. You're going to see what I mean. Oh, I promised to show you a photo of what I believe Babylon, the end time Babylon, will look like. Here is what I believe a photograph of rebuilt Babylon. Are you puzzled? No, Babylon is there. Babylon is there. And it is a city. But this is what it's going to look like from ground level. In my opinion, this is my interpretation as I'm looking at all these things with new eyes based on the current situation, of the world, politically, technologically. This is what I now think could be. So back to Nebuchadnezzar. He was the first king of the world, headquartered in Babylon. The Nebuchadnezzar Empire was overthrown by the Medes and the Persians. Now, Medes by themselves are fine. Persians by themselves are quite nice. But don't mix Medes and Persians. When you mix Medes and Persians, somebody's going to take over the world. And that's what happened. The Medo-Persian Empire unseated the Babylonian Empire. But where was that headquarters? None other than Babylon. I believe Cyrus was the king of the Medo-Persian Empire. There was a third world kingdom, a true world kingdom, and that was the Grecian kingdom headed by Alexander the Great. Because Babylon was also the headquarters of the Grecian Empire. There's not been a world empire since that. The Roman Empire never existed. I mean, it was an empire, but it wasn't a worldwide empire. They thought they were. They hoped they were. They advertised themselves, and all their brochures says world empire. It wasn't. All blow, no go. And it just wasn't the case. But there will be a fourth world empire as prophesied in Daniel chapter 2 with the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the image in his dream. There will be a fourth world empire that will be destroyed by God's true kingdom. A rock will come out of the mountain and destroy it. It's a whole great topic. You'll find it. Go to Martin Zender, Daniel series. I did 50 shows on secrets in the book of Daniel. Look that up. I should put the link down here. But anyway, God, I have so much to say. All right. Where is the gold at Fort Knox? I did research on this today. Do you know where all the gold? There is gold at Fort Knox. Estimated $193 billion worth of gold. Bullion. Fort Knox is in Kentucky. Do you think they have the gold stored in a warehouse? Maybe it's $900 billion. I know there's a 9 in there. I'll put the figure down here. Some insane amount of money. Do you think it's in a warehouse? Or do you think they keep it in a safe? On the ground floor? No. They keep the gold at Fort Knox underground. Way underground. Where did Adolf Hitler try to survive the end of the war as the Russians moved in from the east and the Americans and their allies moved in from the west? Did he hang out on the parapet? On the balcony? No, he was in an underground bunker, a secure bunker. Where does the Declaration of Independence go? The document. Stored at the National Archives building in Washington, D.C. I've seen it. I've been there. At night, after it's done being displayed, it goes down, down, down into an underground vault. Where does the president and his cabinet meet during times of war or on 9/11 when everyone feared an attack on the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Where do they go? They're underground. They're in a bunker under the ground. Where is anything important kept underground? Where do people go when they need to be uber safe? They have systems of rooms and tunnels underground. But can a city, can something that's called a city be underground? Well, I looked this up 2 days ago on the ever-reliable internet, and when I typed in underground cities, and the result I got was top 9 underground cities. Here is just one photo of a city that is underground. Is it possible that the city of Babylon, which will be the stronghold of all the wealth accumulated by the small amount of people that control the wealth in this country? I know that wealth is electronic now, mainly, but not all of it is electronic. But even if the actual currency is not in play here, let's talk about the people, the individuals, the Davos types who want to run the world. For one thing, if they were to settle in any place on the planet, what would be the one place symbolically, whatever supercomputers they have, whatever hard currency they have, whatever valuable thing they have, and whatever plans they are making that they want to keep secret, and there being then a place from which they run the world, and they require protection because the world is hunting them down, where do you think symbolically would be the place where they would go? Consider that these people are arrogant. Consider that these people are arrogance on steroids. Consider that these people consider themselves the rulers of the world. There is only one place from which the world has ever been ruled, and that was Babylon. Symbolically, that's the place. It is at the geographical center of the world. Just symbolically, and just because of the arrogance, why wouldn't these people? I know, what's the best place? God damn it, let's go to Babylon. Let's rebuild Babylon. That's where all the other world leaders were from, aren't we? That's where they all held court and ruled Earth. Isn't that the place for us? And so the entire city is under freaking ground. In the meantime, Christians and we ourselves, look, we're looking for the rebuilding of Babylon. We're looking for a city like New York City, or like that city in the Middle East that they recently built that I could never think of the name of because I don't give a crap about it. I'll put it down there. We ourselves are pained thinking, oh, everything seems to be coming into place except this great city that's supposed to be built, rebuilt. But where does it say in Scripture that it's rebuilt? I don't see any place in Scripture. But I do think that it will exist, and I do think that it will be the headquarters, physically, of those ruling the world and their apparatus. Spiritually, it will be the center of every evil thing that has ever happened, every greedy thing, every it'll be a repository of every life that was lost by people seeking power and pleasure. Just as Jerusalem in the generation of our Lord's day was the chosen target by the spirit world to make retribution for all the saints in past days slain because of the testimony of God. I got so much more to say on this, including showing, I'm going to go through every verse that seems like this could only be referring to something in the past. I have a take on that. I'm not going to duck away from any passage concerning Babylon. You might be looking at it and say, there's no way. There's no way. You know, the ships far off, mourning the cargo, all this. I'm going to offer you my interpretation. I think it's new. I don't care if it's new. I'm looking at it with new eyes, like I have been looking at things in Revelation with new eyes for the last couple of days. And again, this is my interpretation. It's not anybody else's, as far as I know. Maybe after this, it might become yours. I don't know. Let's see.